Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're doing well and standing strong against everything that Satan's agenda is throwing at you these days. Some people think that God said everything would get worse. I personally don't see it exactly the same way. I see that God is kind of bringing a distinction between his kingdom and darkness. The evil has always been there ever since the fall, but now God is fully revealing it, making it totally clear in our day so it can be fully dealt with. That's part of the purposes of God for us. But man, on an individual level, it seems like we're facing a new attack every day. So the question is, what do we do when we fail? Today, I'm going to try to get to this and be as gritty and real with everyday battles as I can. So stick around, don't go anywhere.
We will be the ones to see it through, and everything lost will be renewed. Long ago in the garden it was to be, now a dream fulfilled in you and me. Whoa, oh, oh.
So, what do you do when you failed and you're facing the attack of shame and guilt in your heart and in your conscience? First off, I want to say this. God loves you. He loves you at all times. He hasn't stopped loving you, and he is on your side. He's not against you. That's what I want to say to start off this discussion. Know that. Know with everything in you that God loves you. He's working for you and trying to get you close to him. That is his desire. So don't ever lose track of that in this discussion. That's an important thing to always know when you're dealing with failures, when you're dealing with struggles. The second thing that I want to address is something that I have run into more times than I really like to think about. But there are believers that I've known many different times throughout my life, and good friends, even people that I love and care about, and but they don't seem to be concerned with pleasing God and living a sanctified life. Now, I'm not trying to judge anybody, especially here. I'm not going to bring out anything like that. But there is a struggle inside of us that we have to face down. It is not what God is after. He doesn't want us to recognize his forgiveness and his kindness and his love. He doesn't want us to get off in some place that makes us think that he's not concerned with the problems, because the problems are real. And the failures that we do when we make mistakes, when we get tempted, when we are facing different things in our culture that tempt us. And I'm going to get into some of the specifics there, but God wants you to be sanctified, taken out of a worldly way of living that is for selfish, that is for nothing, that accomplishes nothing. And he wants you to be sanctified and put into a place that can be used for the things that he designed you and created you to be. So he wants you to have a sanctified life. That grace does not by any means do away with the reality of his sanctification. Just so you know that, because sometimes we get confused, and it's easy to get that deception, and Satan wants you to be deceived by it. He's trying to throw that at you and make you lose sight of it and not be concerned with God's sanctification and his process in your life. So I have to address that as we get into it, because neither one of those things are right. God loves you. You should never feel like he doesn't love you. And you should also recognize that he is concerned, and he wants you to recognize and be sanctified by his grace and his power in your life. So, what should you do when you failed and are facing the attack of the guilt and the shame from your mistake, from that sin at that moment? Or maybe it's longer term. Maybe it's cumulative in this guilt and in the struggle that you have. Should you be humiliated by your mistake and feel like you're nothing in God's eyes? I kind of dealt with that, kind of already started talking about that. The truth is, you have to know that you haven't changed in God's eyes. He still sees you as his child, and what he created you to be, what you created to do, his love is commended towards you. That so when you were, before you even knew it, before you even had any desire for him, he was thinking of you and desiring you. So the notion or idea that you should feel humiliated is wrong. Humiliation, I have to get into that, is actually a form of pride that's working in our heart. Humiliation is when, instead of responding to a failure by saying, oh, I recognize it, I see it, I am sorry, that was not something that I should do. If you affected someone else, if you don't, you apologize. You recognize that, hey, I'm sorry, I will do, can I help you? Can I fix it? That is our, should be our response. But humiliation goes, well, I tried my best and I failed and I can't do it. I can't respond. But God's power in you, He knows for a fact, and I know for a fact, that you have the power of God working in you, and you can. And you can overcome each one of those mistakes. And it's not by gritting your teeth and saying, I'm never going to make another mistake. And when you do, you feel overwhelmed. That's what humiliation, because we have pride in our own self. God is working through His grace. He's working in us, and He's teaching us and showing us that when we surrender to His ways and acknowledge our sins, we walk in humility instead of humiliation. So how do we humbly acknowledge our sins while remaining determined to follow God and seek His kingdom and seeking His righteousness? As Matthew 6, 33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that you have need of will be added to you. Well, that's one of my favorite verses. That's one of my all-time favorite things. Jesus shared that in the Sermon on the Mount, and he brought it home that we are supposed to seek Him. But how do we do that when we are humbly acknowledging our failures? Because it sometimes our mind thinks that we're supposed to withdraw and be, oh, well, you know, I was close to it. I was close, but I failed. And so I have to start all over again. Well, God isn't interested in us starting all over again. He's not. There are aspects of our life that you might, your sin or your failure might have unraveled, and you do have to rebuild those things. But as far as your relationship with Him, it wasn't contingent on you being holy to start with. And so the work that He does, He develops in you. And your failures, although they can get your mind off of things, they can get you involved in things that are very, very wrong, they don't specifically undermine or remove the work that God is doing. Often, He's working in an area that you're not even aware of, and so you still make mistakes, and He's building something because He knows that when He gets that completed in you, then those mistakes are no longer going to have the power over you. It's wonderful. You have to see God's perspective on this and not be overwhelmed, but be humble and acknowledge. So how do we do that? One of the ways that I have experienced is that I humble is by being honest. I know sometimes we have these different thoughts, and people, well, God made you and he doesn't make trash. He doesn't make, and I don't, so I understand that sometimes people can take these things the wrong way and turn it into things. But me personally, when I make a mistake, I'm always like, as soon as I realize it, I've worked really hard to train myself to go, I'm an idiot, I am sorry. Instead of, well, I'm trying to come up with all the reasons why I was doing what I did. Because a lot of times I'm trying to do what's right, but I fail. Sometimes I got lost in the moment and I did something very, very wrong out of anger, frustration, or bitterness over something. And God wants me to recognize that I have to say, I screwed up. Humbly acknowledging it. Some people have, and like I said, I guess I'll just deal with that real fast. Sometimes people will teach that you shouldn't acknowledge that or claim these problems to be, that's not who I am. That's not what I'm. Well, the truth is, if you're doing it, then yes, you are that. But God knows that He created you and He's given you the power to be like His Son, to follow after Him, not be stuck in the past, not be stuck over here with your selfishness and your bitterness and your weakness. He's made you strong. So we can declare both of these things while acknowledging that right here in the middle between this process, I just chose to do something wrong. And so that won't define me in the long term, but right here, right now, I have to recognize it. And we can humble ourselves in doing that. And we can do that with a vision, with a purpose, knowing that if I keep doing this and not acknowledging it, not recognizing it, then it becomes a more of a controlling factor in my life. So when I humble myself and I say, oh, I'm an idiot when I failed, I trained myself to do that because I was battling pride. I was trying to defend myself in my failure, in my different things. When I do that, it became much easier for me to go, you know what? Absolutely. Let's do it the right way. I'm going to get in line and follow after God's ways. That's what I want. And so that's what I started doing. And doing that simple process of acknowledgement, it didn't become a crushing weight. It became this thing of positive change, of desire and recognition of the hand of God in my life. So if you are hungry for growth and you want to be living and experiencing a deeper connection with God, then I guarantee you've already encountered this if you've been doing that for very long. You know that what I'm talking about with disappointment with yourself, that when you try to overcome something and you fail, there's a disappointment in yourself because you desire God. You see him for you know, the beauty and the amazing love that he pours out, and you want him. You want to be with him. You desire him, and you're hungry for that connection. And when you sin, when you walk in rebellion in your heart and you choose something that is wicked, your connection, that intimacy with him, is hindered. Sometimes it's cut short very powerfully, very dynamically, because he can't work. He can't operate in your life while that rebellion is there. And so if you were experiencing something and he's leading you and you rebel, you're not going to be in that connection, that deeper connection. So you face this, and those of us who have desired him, we're all failed at some point. We all fail. And so that disappointment that comes in, you have to battle to overcome it. And you can overcome it. And you overcome it with the goodness of God. You overcome it by recognizing that God made the way, and he's making the way, and he's leading you. And so when you repent, you're turning away from something towards God. That's what you're doing. So when your heart was desiring something, you can turn it back. And that's what repentance is. It's not going, oh, I guess I'll always be like this and I'll always fail. I just can't seem to get there. No, we can turn and follow after him because God is right there. That's where he is, right where you fell, right where you failed. That's where his mercy is. His mercy is always right there. So as a teenager and a young adult, I remember many times facing failure. I remember God got a hold of me when I was 13 years old, and I got baptized and I started serving him. And that, you know, that's a pretty young age. You're just starting to encounter more of the cultural things and experience things. But at 15, I encountered God and the presence of the Lord in a mighty way. And I went after it with all my heart. That didn't mean I didn't make mistakes. I still made many mistakes, but I wanted to be stronger than any cultural influence on me. I wanted to be stronger than the desire to be dating, to be like the world, to have a girlfriend. And that's not a bad thing, but like the world, the way the world presents it is very, very destructive in many people's lives, and relationships drag them into all kinds of problems. And I wanted to be stronger than that. I wanted to operate with sexual purity, having my mind cleansed from the filth of selfish desires that permeates everything to do with sex, and that it's all about you and all about what you want. I wanted that to be pure. I wanted to have the pure love and affection for my wife when I met her, when I was marrying her. I didn't want to have it my mind filthy with all these other things. I didn't want to be consumed with things that you fall into and become controlled by, like pornography. I wanted to be free from all those things. And I can say that God kept me free from many of those things. That didn't mean I never failed in those areas. I did fail. Dating is a difficult thing. God has mercy. He has grace for us to heal us and restore us. But I can say this, that drive, that desire for him kept me from ever turning back, from, because if I did not know his love and did not know his compassion, then those things would have been so much stronger, because it's hard to resist. And other simpler choices, like, you know, godly entertainment. And then that's kind of a little bit tricky, and I don't really want to get off into all these different aspects of it, but godly entertainment choices to engage with are important. They really are. But I also believe that you should be maturing to a point where, when you encounter different things in our culture, movies and TV shows, music, video games, any different types of, you know, activities, going out to different things, you don't want to be partaking in an ungodly thing. You can be in and around many of these things while walking in maturity, but if you are struggling with something, you have to acknowledge it. You cannot simply say, well, it's okay for me to go out to this club or to that place where I'm surrounded by people who are living immoral lives, and think that it's not gonna have an impact on you. That is foolishness. That's childishness. When God calls his people to encounter those things, we are coming from a place of strength, from a place of that this is not our desire. We see the pain. We see the torment. We see the suffering that comes. We don't see the glamour. The glamour that pulls and tempts hearts, that makes sin desirable and pleasant for a season. We don't see those things from a place of strength and maturity. And so when we stand against the cultural influences and we don't date like them, we don't pursue a relationship with because of what we're getting out of it. We look at it and see, like Christ did with his church. He desired and loved us. So as a man, that's my desire to find a young woman when I was a teenager and young adult. Sexual purity, all these things, remaining clean from those things. And I will say, there's freedom no matter how far you've fallen. But I will also say that you can remain free. You don't have to become controlled for a time and then discover the grace of God. God's grace is strong enough to keep you away from those things. So remember that if you're free right now. But if you're coming out of that, recognize that God wants you to see this and understand that his way of life is different. And so we see it. Once we grow in that, we can minister and touch people who are in those places from a place of strength, because we're not tempted by that, like I said, the glamour and the other different aspects of the sinful life that can seem enjoyable. It was difficult to know how to be in the world. When I was young, I remember how to be in the world and still be a light while not being desensitized by wickedness. That is a battle that we all face. And I think it goes on throughout your entire life, because you're always going to have different areas of your life that want to be influenced and desensitized to the presence of God. And I've talked about that in other episodes. I've talked about being intimate with God and how God desires for us to always be there. He doesn't want us to have these dry seasons and times away from him. Those are usually only because there's something God is wanting us to learn and wanting us to recognize. And as long as we're blind to it or rebellious to it, then we suffer with having a lack in those areas. But how to remain desensitized, or keep from being desensitized, is what I was pursuing after. But I also knew that there were things that I was weak in. I was struggling. And so I would fall prey. I remember when I started dating, and I had several different girlfriends over a period of years. And those relationships were with girls who desired God too. I wasn't going out and finding ungodly women, but the desire in us is real, and you have to overcome. You have to face those things down. So what do you do when you fail? I remember, and you know, I thank God that I was able to remain pure on a number of levels. I was a virgin when I got married, and the blessing of that is great. Whether you are a virgin or not, God can restore your purity. So I don't take this as a condemnation. God can restore your purity. But the blessing of not being involved in those things allows you to be attached and desire your spouse without having to battle things to recover that attachment, because you are connected and your heart desires them. So purity is good and God restores it. Many different things were a blessing by being pursuing God, by being in that passionate desire for Him. And walking it out is powerful. So I'm testifying to some of this, but also I remember crossing lines to things that I knew God had already convicted my heart that this was not appropriate. There are aspects of intimacy that we excuse a lot of times. And I crossed those lines in some relationships that I was in, and God convicted me. He convicted me. He said, no, you got to stop this. And I remember facing and feeling overwhelmed by those things. Like, I remember asking him, like, God, can you please just show me what I'm about to do before it happens? Because it feels like I don't even recognize it, and I fall into it. And he did. And that's that. He started opening my eyes. He started giving me, showing me that, hey, I was actually compromising here, and I was compromising here, and compromising farther and farther back. And he showed me how to walk it back to the place where I took a path that was different from his way. His way was straight, and my way deviated off. And he showed me how to examine my heart, and it gave me strength to overcome and battle. And so in every area of lust and ungodly desire that would come into my heart, I could go walk it back. And that brought freedom. Instead of being a godly person, wanting to obey him, and then encountering something that just knocked me down, I'm like, oh man, I can repent. I can say I'm sorry, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it again. I'm okay. I know that he forgave me. If you're battling with that, don't battle with that. And that can be part of the overcoming part in you. And so, but know that you are forgiven. And I'll get into that in a little bit, a different aspect of that. But we are still broken when we fail. We are still damaged by what we did, even when we are forgiven. And so I kept crying out to God. I was like, God, I don't want to do this again, because I want to be closer to you. And pursuing that, now I'll just testify that, in my early 30s and now in my 40s, I found that the consistency in my pursuit of God when I was younger paid off again and again. Again and again. I could have ignored it, or I could have just indulged, I could have enjoyed it. But what I find is that people who are coming to God out of wickedness, out of sin, or even people who have indulged and tried to stay somewhat connected to God, these battles are in their life for years and years, and the turmoil and the damage, the struggle in their relationships, in their marriages, and different things are wicked. They're evil. Satan lies to you. He tells you that you can get away with it. You can't. It causes problems. It begins to unravel the structure that God is building in your life. So indulgence and giving in brings struggle and pain and suffering. But the things of God pay off. They offer strength and more and more power to follow God is unleashed, which is freedom. That's what freedom of God is the power to be able, excuse me, the power to be able to follow him. That's what his freedom does for us. But still, there are failures that have to be rooted out of me, out of my heart. God's hand is reaching in there, and it's pulling deep and hard to get those things out of me, and I want them out. But there are things that I have done, and mistakes that I make, and even now, I'm trying to be real here without being talking about things that are not necessarily the right thing to do on a podcast, but we all struggle. And, you know, there are times when I don't respect and honor someone in my life, like my wife, when I have an attitude and I respond to something that is selfish. That breaks my heart. It really does. I hate it. And the temptation can be to be overwhelmed, to be crushed by it, or I can look and walk it back and say, God, what is going on in my heart? What is happening in my heart? Am I justifying it because of maybe a weakness that, someone else in my life has? And so I'm responding to their weakness and I'm justifying my failure. When I walk it back, it starts giving me strength. It starts giving me the power to overcome those struggles. So God's pulling those things out. He's not going to allow them. That goes to, back to more questions about this. So what do you do immediately following a mistake? Do you ignore it and go on? Do seemingly small failures like losing your temper or cussing, you know, that can be a big deal in a lot of people's minds, but it can also be a small deal to some people. Or personal habits, the different things that you've grown accustomed to doing, do they get ignored? And do bigger sins like lust, pornography, things that can destroy and completely derail your life, addiction problems, many different bigger sins, and maybe lesser versions of that. But do bigger sins overwhelm you and make intimacy with God seem impossible? Those are questions that surround this type of thing when we're talking about failure. So what do you do immediately following a mistake? You know, I think every one of us have probably responded differently to that type of thing. But in general, we start having our way of dealing with it. And sometimes God will meet us. And so I'm not trying to teach something here that is just earth-shattering. But if you don't have, if you don't deal with things in from the place that God designed you to, you're going to be torn down and you're not going to actually receive the healing that God wants. So do you ignore it and go on? That's something that we all fall prey to a lot of times. We're like, well, I know God loves me. As you're growing in your walk and you go years through it, do we ignore it and go on? Often, if we're honest, there are many times and many things that we do where we ignore it and go on. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to see it, just like His love. He sees who we are. He sees everything that we do, but He sees beyond it and He still loves us. So we need to have the same response and see our mistakes, but see beyond it. See the power that God is working for freedom in those areas. And so when you encounter something, when you make a mistake, don't ignore it. Like I said, when it's a simple thing, it's like, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. I find that that is empowering. It allows you to acknowledge it and then and really show your care to the person or the people involved that you just messed up with. And sometimes just simply humility when you said something that's not even necessarily a sin. You just said something that was wrong and you were corrected. It allows you to learn and receive correction. That's what the whole power of the Holy Spirit does in us. He corrects us. But if we're too proud, we don't receive that correction, or it takes very long to receive it. God wants us these things to become native to us, native in our response and our instinct is to receive the correction from God. How sensitive is your conscience over your sins? That's another question that comes up. How, you know, I know some people have an overactive guilt, and that comes from a number of different things. It can come from just them being a sensitive person in general. It can also come from an overbearing way of life or legalistic approach to doing things that causes you to be sensitive to something. Now here's the thing that this gets a little bit tricky. If you have an overactive guilt, it's still wrong to violate your conscience. If you feel like or think that something is wrong and you do it anyway, you did just sin, whether what you're doing is wrong or not. So that's a little bit tricky because God says do not violate your conscience. So if your conscience is being violated, you are sinning and it is breaking you down because your conscience becomes more and more numb and you're no longer sensitive to the things that you've done wrong. But at the same time, we have to recognize that God does not want us living in this state of legalism where we feel like we're okay because we did these things. And so when we fail, I just messed up again. So God, I'm not okay. God doesn't love me. Overactive guilt is wrong and is used to control you. Some people will teach it. Some people will minister that in the body of Christ, and they will minister in a way to find ways to control the people. And so that, and this has been used in big settings, but it also happens on a personal level. God wants you free. He doesn't want you controlled, especially by another person. He wants you to be surrendered to Him. The sins in our life that we are conscious of, like, I'll use an example of some basic things. Like, I know some people who have been overwhelmed with guilt because they had started speeding. And I, like I said, if you feel like safety and you should not speed, then that's between you and your conscience. Don't do it. Operate safely as you feel you're supposed to. But if your conscience feels like you're sinning because you violated a law, you can educate yourself a little bit more on what laws are, what that really means, what the purpose is in Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 13, I'm not drawing a blank for all of a sudden, about obeying the laws of the land. You can educate yourself further on what God actually teaches on those things so that you don't feel convicted, like you're living in sin because you drove too fast on the way home. I don't want to be, I'm trying to be sensitive, I guess, about some of these things, because I don't want to leave the impression that none of those things matter. They do in the right place, but overactive conscience keeps you from actually receiving what God wants you to do, because Satan has an avenue to keep beating you up and beating you down. Some of us, though, are not oversensitive. Some of us are hard, and we don't feel very much at all. When we fail, when we come up short, I've talked to people and they're Christians, and they were sleeping with their girlfriend, and I asked them, I said, how do you feel? What do you sense? And they're like, I don't feel like anything about it, and they knew that the Bible said not to do it, but they didn't feel anything, and so they had kind of started living their life based off of that feeling. Well, feelings lie to us. We know that. I say that all the time. Your feelings are going to lie. Feelings aren't bad. They're just not what you make decisions off of. You don't decide what to do by how you feel. In general, on making wise decisions, you will fail big time if you go by your feelings. But especially something that is moral like this, that is breaking down. And so they were sleeping together, and I just challenged them. I was like. One of the reasons why you don't feel intimacy with God, you don't feel the conviction, is because you've already gotten hard. If you will stop, if you will just get yourself away from those things and start seeking the Lord, start really reaching out to Him, that connection begins to grow. And so when you make a mistake, you begin to feel it and sense it a lot more. So God wants those of us who are hard. We can sit here and easily look down on somebody. Well, why are you feeling so convicted? Why do you feel so bad because you did a little thing like you brought some candy into a movie theater? And we can be like, oh, that's way over. And maybe it is. Maybe that's too oversensitive, but there's nothing wrong with following the rules either. But we can be hard. And God says, don't be hard. Be sensitive. And especially if there are things that the scripture defines as wrong and you don't feel it. You don't feel. And so our culture, see, they talk about cultural influences. This is what we're running into again. People are like, well, the rules are there to control you. The Bible and Christianity or religion just wants to control you. But see, there's nothing wrong with it. And if you start doing it, it's like there's nothing that you feel anymore. And so because you've done this over and over again. And so it seems to verify, but it doesn't. When you stop, when you get out of those things and you separate yourself from those activities and those choices, you begin to grow more sensitive again. And especially as you encounter God and you seek Him, you will begin to find that He is drawing you close. He's the one doing it. Do similarly small failures, seemingly small failures, like losing your temper or cussing or personal habits, get ignored. It's very easy to get comfortable with our personal struggles. This is something that God wants us to stir ourselves and not become comfortable with. It becomes easy to dismiss them without honestly going before God and examining our hearts. You can very much, we all do this, and we all have this temptation all the time to do this. The small failures, the little things that we've done, struggled with our whole life, it's really just say, well, that's just who I am. That's just the way I do it. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, or I'm sorry to the person that you just did it to. Little things that nagging. I talked about little foxes a while back on an episode because that's what these things are equated to. They spoil the whole vine. They come in and they nibble on the fruit, and so you don't produce fruit. You have a vine that's growing and it's damaged enough where you're not producing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit of God working on your life, working on your heart. The fruit that shows you have peace, you have joy, you have the ability to endure when someone does something wrong instead of immediately you respond in anger. The things like that, those are the fruits that God is working on. And so if you ignore those things and you get comfortable with them, you begin to dismiss them, and you need to go before God. He wants to show you these things. God is very interested in your freedom. He's very interested in your freedom from basic, daily, or excusable offenses. We absolutely can run this race with endurance. We can run without getting tired and being free, not becoming entangled with these different things. And so God is interested in that. Examine your heart. He will show you. And like I said, don't let these things become overbearing. These are the process. God loves you. He's the one fighting for you to be free and so that you don't deal with these struggles anymore. When he sees that the time is right, see, this is another thing. There are things that are in you that are hidden. And you may not know about it, but other people around you probably do. And when he brings that area of your life up to you, when it becomes something that you recognize, that area of weakness is something he's trying to deal with. You might have ignored it. You might have not even recognized it, never seen it before. But when he starts bringing it up and showing you, and that failure, that area of weakness, you start recognizing it in your life, it's the power of God. It's his Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God Almighty, of the Creator of the universe, is working on you. And he's saying, this is something I want out of you. Again, not to hump, not to be humiliated, be like, oh, I've been serving you for all these years, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize I had. No, it's a glorious opportunity to recognize. The way I've described this so many times is, what if you were doing something? I actually did this. I was working on my car and I could not figure out the problem for 2 days. I was fiddling on this thing and it wasn't working. My brother came up and he points out and goes, well, you can do it like this. And it worked. I could have been like, I've been working on it for 2 days. You haven't. You don't really know. And I could have kept doing it for another 2 days or a week or however long and still never gotten it if I didn't figure it out. But no, as soon as he walked up, I changed what I was doing and it became successful. So just because you've been doing something for a long time doesn't mean you should be overwhelmed. You shouldn't be giving up. You shouldn't be turned into a condemnation upon you. It is freedom. It is God brought it into focus because he wants you to see it. So remember that. When areas of your life that, like I said, other people probably already know. but even if they don't, even if it's something that God just revealed to you, when he brings it up, it's because he's trying to remove it. And so there's grace, there's power, and there's freedom in that. Do bigger sins overwhelm you? That's another, I want this to be real. I want this to be genuine on everyday struggles, but also do they overwhelm you? The main thing is when we struggle with big moral decisions or rebellion and things like pornography addiction, drug abuse, using drugs and having controlling influences in our life, sexual immorality, promiscuity, and things like that. When you are coming to him, you may deal with ongoing struggles in some areas. Often he will deliver you mightily and powerfully, but if you've walked with the Lord much, you will find that there are areas that continue to nag you. And one of those that happens a lot with men specifically, and women more and more deal with this as well, but it's pornography. Repentance and desire to follow God is strong in their heart, but it still seems to have a controlling force in it, and at times it just keeps creeping back up, and it makes intimacy with God impossible, and maybe intimacy with their wife. It keeps undermining their marriage, but definitely with God, these sins become overwhelming. Humility and willingness to look at ourselves objectively can be difficult, but it is necessary in God's transformative work in us. For God to transform our minds and our hearts, we have to be humble and we have to be willing to look at it, and we have to see things that we don't like to look at about ourselves. We have to look at who we are, what we've done, and how we've behaved, and say, I see the goodness of God, and I see his forgiveness, but I also see where my rebellion, where my brokenness from things still tried to control me, and God is trying to break those off. And you do that, like I said, by walking it back, by going back to those things where you are indulging, where you are compromising, where you are accepting the lie and living outside of the way that God wants you to. He'll bring it back to you. And it's usually just a little step. But when you go back, like with lust, with pornography, if you're being drawn back into it and tempted by it, I guarantee that didn't happen at that moment. All of a sudden that temptation overwhelmed your mind. I guarantee that actually started with something else. You allowed yourself to indulge your fantasy and your desire in a small area. Maybe it was magazines at the checkout at the grocery store. Maybe it was a commercial on TV. Maybe it was the cheerleaders at the football game when you went out on Friday night to watch the high school team. Whatever it is that is causing you that you're indulging in, and you're saying, well, that's not that big of a deal. It's making you weak to where when you face something, you have no power to resist it. God delivers us, but we have to be willing to look at ourselves objectively. That can be very, very difficult. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's his desire. That's what this is about. Learning to respond when we fail, we can have our minds renewed instead of going on and on and on and living with this and seeing the damage of it over and over and over again. These kinds of things are not permitted in us. God is jealous. Did you know that? The Spirit of God, he lives inside of you. You are his temple. So he lives in you. And he's not content to dwell with the wickedness. He won't permit it. Now, he understands the process and the compartmentality that we don't understand. We don't see ourselves fully, and he works with that, like I've said. But God is jealous. He's not willing to do this. He's not willing to live with wickedness. James 4:1 says, he talks about this, talks about the jealousy. And it says, where does the warring and the battle in your members come from? Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You desire things and do not have them. You murder and covet and still cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend what you want on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. But he gives more grace. This is our God. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your lightheartedness be turned to remorse, and your joyful feelings to feelings of lament. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. That verse, that passage is so powerful. It is the essence of why we fight this battle, why we our response when we fail matters. God is available right where you fail. Did you know that? He's not asking you to do a journey back to go wait till Sunday morning to go to the altar. He's available right in the instant, right where you fell. As soon as you recognize it, as soon as you honor him with your mind and you recognize that you are choosing to submit to something evil. Just like the very first time you came to him. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you came to him and you turned to him and he embraced you? He wrapped his arms around you and he said, I love you. You are forgiven. You are my son. Come close. Come live with me. I desire you. That's his affection for us. He doesn't want you to stay away from him. Satan lies and tells you to hide. You remember like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what'd they do? They go and hide. But God came looking for them. He's like, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Always remember that God desires that you find forgiveness. And he desires that you are cleansed completely from all forms of evil, selfishness, and sin. Every form of it, every area of it that's in you. He desires for you to be forgiven and cleansed. He's not trying to keep you away from his kingdom. He's doing everything he can to get your heart, get your mind, get your desires and affection on him. And come and live and dwell and be in his house forever. That's what he's trying to do. And so, You can run from that. You can rebel from that, but don't ever let Satan convince you that God is not fighting for you. He's trying to include you even through every one of your mistakes. Every single mistake that you make, in the very middle of it, God is trying to reach out to you. He's trying to include you. You don't feel that. Your feelings lie. You don't feel that because you know how filthy it was. You know how wrong it was. You know how you didn't really want God when it becomes made real to you. So you don't feel that way, but he's trying everything. That's what his desire for you. He is for you. He's not against you. He's working. And so our response to these things, what do we do? This is what God has made real to me over and over again. Our response to these things matters. It makes us find him. It gives us freedom and it draws us near to him, allows us to operate and walk in victory and in strength. Until next time, remain strong and in the race. I love you. Have a great day.
We will be the ones to see it through, and everything lost will be renewed. Long ago in the garden it was to be, now a dream fulfilled in you and me.